We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Hi, this is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from the attic in my house in New Athens, Illinois. And I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from somewhere not as cool sounding as the attic. I'm just in my office in the study at Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor.
And of course, that is the Reverend Dr. Matt.
Thank you, John.
Youngblood Clark. So we're glad that, you know, I don't mean to embarrass you, but it does give the whole show a whole new quality, don't you think? That we have a doctor. We actually have a doctor on the show. We've never had that before. So I think we'll have a whole new audience now too.
Yeah, I'm never going to hear the end of this, am I, John?
No, that
every
was your
time.
You will be
every recording. You give me a hard time. Oh boy.
Well, okay. To kind of take some of the embarrassment off of you and to put a little back on me, I did want to start with this little story from my wife Lynn. She swears, and she doesn't swear often. So when she does, you really need to pay attention. You know, last month we were doing, again, we thank our listeners who sent these stories to us. We were doing some of the amusing anecdotes about our nation's pastime, which is baseball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was fun.
And Lynn swears that I said antidote rather than anecdote, okay? So we had some amusing antidotes. And of course, I would question that, and we could double-check it, Matt, by going back and listening to those recorded episodes. But I feel like it's not worth it because I'm sure Lynn's right.
I know, just it's not worth it, John. Just to concede now.
Well, we
could put the rest of the basics fact checkers at work, though. We have a whole team of fact checkers on our staff who go back and review things just like that, if you really want them to. But we might want to let this one along.
See, the thing is Lynn is never, never, never wrong. In fact, she is so seldom wrong that I will actually write it down on the calendar when she is wrong. And that one time was back in 2019. November 8th. that's the only time I've ever written it down on the calendar, Matt. So,
However,
I realize why I said antidote. I think it was a Freudian slip because I was reflecting on how terrible some of our jokes have been this year, and I figured people really needed an antidote. they needed an antidote. So, well, whatever. We wanted to go back to what we were talking. Yeah, I know it's too late, isn't it, Matt?
That's right. Oh,
shouldn't
boy.
Even went there.
Oh,
but we were talking about Mary and Martha, and the connection it has, I think, with the story of the Good Samaritan. And what was the one thing necessary, Matt? What was the one thing necessary? Because that's the issue. We need to love the neighbor. Don't anyone tell you don't need to love the neighbor. I think that's one of the biggest problem that Christians are having, that we're forgetting we're supposed to love the neighbor. But what's the one thing necessary, Matt?
Yeah, so as Martha's cooking and cleaning, you know, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. Jesus says to Martha, after she's upset with Jesus and her sister, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. I think kind of a play on words there, Jesus saying the good portion, right? As Martha's getting all these portions of food ready, the good portion is what Mary's chosen as she listens to Jesus. So, yes, that one thing that's necessary is Jesus' teaching, Jesus himself, the gospel message. You know, I don't, as he says those words, I don't know. I almost like to picture Jesus pointing to himself, John. You know, Mary has chosen the one thing needed, you know, and that one thing needed is Jesus and his word. And that's what Martha's chosen.
And Matt, well, I really, again, I think we have the working of the Holy Spirit here. The fact that you read that verse, because it reminded me of two things. First of all, I think a test that maybe our good works have ventured over into sin. And that's the problem. Even the best of our good works are corrupted by sin. If you're anxious and troubled, then that probably is evidence that there's some sin involved. And again, we're not saying what you're doing is bad. Uh-huh. I'm sure it is well-intentioned. But where there's anxiety and trouble, again, the focus is that we've put the focus on us. We put the focus on our serving rather than simply God loves us and we want to love the people around us. So that's kind of a good thing to check yourself. If you're finding yourself anxious, well, then maybe you need to go back to the Lord and say, help me out here. Maybe I'm not really doing this. And the other thing that you just read in that verse is that the thing, the good thing, the one thing necessary, the good portion, what makes it good is that'll never be taken away from you. You know?
Yeah.
This love of Jesus, this gospel, that's the one thing. Everything else in this world will be taken away from us. And that includes the things that trouble us and that make us anxious. Those things will all come to an end. Hey, can I tell you, now you've got me off on a personal story. Can I do that real quick?
Maybe? Oh, yeah, you betcha. And go ahead. Take it away.
Well, one of the things that I had to do in my life was my first wife was totally handicapped. She had this terrible genetic disease that both of my daughter and my one son both wrestle with. And in the end, so I had to do everything for her. I had to help her eat. I had to dress her. She couldn't get around unless I took her around in her wheelchair and everything. And you know what was funny is I never saw that as a sacrifice or a burden. People would say to me, oh, well, you're such a wonderful husband, you know, that you do all these things, you make all these sacrifices. But I don't know, I loved her and I thought, well, this is what she needs. So why would I not do that?
It's
like the
do.
Most natural thing to do. Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, just so our listeners understand that they're not listening to an angel here. Come down from heaven. No, there would be times like Martha, I would resent it. There is no doubt about that. There were times when I just resented that I had to do all of this. I would never express that resentment to my wife, Jan, because I knew she didn't cause this. It's not what she wanted either. But believe you me, I did express that resentment to God any number of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I said, God, you know, you've given me this holy profession. I'm a pastor. I have all this holy stuff to do. I don't have time to be putting shoes on my wife's feet. So, you know, I don't know. It's amazing that he could put up with a guy like me. But see, that all came to an end. That all came to an end. That burden. And I think we need to realize that. And maybe we need to remember that. Because I felt relief when she passed away. And then I felt tremendously guilty because I thought, well, you shouldn't feel relief. Mm-hmm. But I, at the same time, I also felt incredibly sad. And in fact, my thought was, God, you should have left her here one more day. I think I could have done it one more day. So I'm just trying to help people understand it's a difficult thing for sinners to love. And we will inevitably find ourselves a mixture of feelings, and we may indeed be anxious and troubled. But that, again, is why the one thing necessary is this beautiful message about Jesus who loves us, forgives us, and reminds us that whatever we lose in this life, we will get back 100-fold and eternal life. See, that's the cool thing to know that I'm going to see my wife, Jan, and I'm looking forward to, I got my wife, Lynn, to love now. And someday we'll both be in heaven as well. So anyway, those are just that wasn't what I planned on talking about, but that verse led me to think about those things, Matt.
Yeah. No, thanks, Sean. And I think, you know, when it comes to loving our neighbor, sometimes the answer is, well, just do it. and now because sometimes I think we start, you know, thinking about our motivations and all those other things, but just do it. That's what we do. You know, as a husband, you care for your wife. That's just what you do. That's my vocation. That's what God's called me to do. But don't do it at the expense of, you know, neglecting that one thing needful, right?
Yeah.
No, we want to keep first things first. Yeah. No, thanks, John.
And that's actually what Matt and I had talked about that we wanted to mention. I have a suggestion. Let's quit saying we go to church. Okay. All right. Let's not say that anymore.
All right.
No, I'm not going to church. What we're doing is we want to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his teaching. That's what we want to do. And I think Lutherans, we do that as good as anybody else. Because, you know, in Lutheran services, you come in and you acknowledge the fact that it was hard. It was tough loving people this week. It was tough loving again. And we confess our sins. And Jesus, right away, that good teaching, that one thing necessary. Well, you know what? Jesus says, that's why I died for you. All that's forgiven. In fact, in my name, I take it all away. And then a pastor worth his salt is going to, again, preach the gospel, talk about Jesus who suffered and died and rose again. And then what I really like, we literally do get to sit at the feet of Jesus, don't we? A lot of churches don't believe that. But we believe that when you go and take the Lord's Supper, you literally there are at the feet of Jesus, aren't you? He's right there with you, giving you his body and blood. And again, that wonderful teaching, this is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So so that's my suggestion. That's my new plan. Let's not ever talk about going to church, but let's say, hey, I want to go sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to go listen to his teaching, because that's what we're really doing.
Yeah.
So that's the end of my sermon, Matt. No. what else you got to say?
All right. Well, I mean, I'm just going to add to what you already said, John, and kind of emphasize that, because I think it's really important. I think another way to put it is to ask the question, you know, is it best to first serve the Lord like Martha did? Or is it best to first be served by the Lord Mary?
Yeah.
Right. And I think... from this text, we know it's number two, right? It's best to first be served by the Lord, and then we can serve. We can serve the Lord. We can serve our neighbor. You bet. And I think that's the same when it comes to worship, right? Sometimes we call worship, you know, you said sitting at Jesus' feet. I like that picture because it's just receiving from Jesus. Sometimes we call worship the divine service. And when we use that phrase, we're talking about being served by the Lord through his word, through his sacraments. And so we're receiving, right? We're being served by God. We're sitting at Jesus' feet. And so having done that, right, now I can better serve the Lord. Now I can better serve my neighbor. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm refreshed. I'm equipped to go out and serve. So again, serving's not wrong. And we keep saying that, but it's, you know, keep the first thing first, right? Be first served by the Lord so that we're better able to go out and serve our neighbor.
Yeah, how can we give to others if we haven't been given to first?
Well put. You bet.
So, all right, well, you want to go on to another subject, though, which I think is related to this. What gospel lesson did you want to look at, Matt?
Yeah, let's stay in Luke's gospel, okay? But we're going to go ahead one chapter to chapter 12. Chapter 12.
Okay.
And we've got all these different people asking Jesus questions and, bringing Jesus to task. And here we get that again. Someone in the crowd, a nameless person, talks to Jesus and tells Jesus to do something. Okay. Tells Jesus to do something. Kind of like Martha, right, John?
Yep,
Martha
yep,
just
yep,
did that.
Yep.
You know, oh, don't you care? You know, tell my sister to help me. Someone else is going to tell Jesus to do something here. So here we go. I guess to first set the scene, let's read kind of the context in which this takes place. So if you could just read chapter 12, verse 1, John, chapter 12, verse 1.
All right. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first.
Okay. All right. So just... I just want to set the scene. That's it, John. So, I mean, I don't know. Have you noticed that verse before?
I never noticed that. No.
Isn't that interesting?
Trampling. Yeah.
Just this description of the crowd there listening to Jesus. There's many thousands, it says, and they gathered together. They were trampling one another. You know, and I think, you know, so maybe I think I've glossed over that verse before too.
I have, but never, you know, picture that.
It sounds even kind of chaotic, but it's like people are almost fighting over each other to get close to Jesus, right? You know, it's you hear about, you know, these mass crowds at a soccer game or a concert, and people are trampling one another to get the best seat. You know, that's almost the picture we have here. You know, people are so eager to be close to Jesus. So, in the midst, it's
Christmas time, and there's one present that everybody wants, and there's only one left, right? Yeah. And they're all fighting over to get it at the store. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the scene here. And so that's the scene in which this account takes place. Okay. So in the midst of that crowd, someone fights his way to the front. It seems like, you know, you gotta be pretty brazen to do that.
Oh yeah.
And this person says a pretty brazen thing to Jesus in the midst of this crowd of thousands of people. So if you want to read for us, let's see here. We want to be in Luke chapter 12, and let's just read verses 13 and 14.
And let me say before I read that, Matt, man, I never thought about that verse, but it does set the whole context, does it? Here again, we have people, and now, Matt, they want to be there at the feet of Jesus, but the sin is still there.
Yeah. They're fighting actually, to be at the feet of Jesus.
They're actually doing the right thing, but now they still don't care about their neighbor.
No. Yeah, and, you know, and Jesus, you know, I mean, he's teaching these words of life, right? And you know, oh my goodness, he's this is the word of God there in the flesh, and he's sharing the word and the spoken word, and you know, oh my goodness, you know, life-changing truths. And listen to what this dude who fights his way to the front says of Jesus in the midst of all this. What's he concerned about?
By the way, listeners, you do not have to trample each other. You can simply email Matt and I at www.kfuel@icloud.com. Okay. Please don't be trampling each other to come and talk to us. But here's what someone in the crowd said to Jesus. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Wow. So that's why he wants to be with Jesus, so he can get his inheritance.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost laughable, right? You know, Jesus is, you know, has the words of eternal life. And this guy, hey, teacher, tell this brother of mine to divide his inheritance, right? Oh, come on, people. Give me a break. But, you know, but then, you know, we think of ourselves and how often are we preoccupied with the things of this world, right? You know, I mean, here's in worship, you know, to go back to the divine service, sitting at Jesus' feet. Here it is, the words of eternal life. But what are we preoccupied with? Well, so oftentimes it is money, right? The things of this world, things that are so very, very, very temporary, and they distract us from sitting at Jesus' feet, from that one thing that's necessary. Yeah.
Oh, man, that is so profound, Matt. So that's right. So we go to church again, but we're just looking for what Jesus can do for us.
Yeah, yeah. Even when we're sitting in the pew, maybe that's what we're thinking of, you know, and as our mind wanders and as we, you know, look for, you know, prosperity in this world. Yeah. So how does Jesus answer the guy's question? You know, does he say, oh, sure, I'll help you out with that? No. What does Jesus say there in verse 14?
But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?
I know. It's almost laughable, right? Because Jesus, what are you talking about? Is this why I came to this earth? Is so that I can decide disputes over inheritances and be an arbitrator? No, right? Jesus is brutally honest here. But Jesus then takes this as an opportunity to teach, right? To teach this man, but also to teach others. I would imagine in the crowd too that day, and by extension, thanks to Luke writing this down, you know, it teaches us today too.
Yeah.
So Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. So, if you want to read verse 15.
Yeah, and I would add, he's teaching you and me, Matt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, and to have these words recorded for us to read today on Wrestling with the Basics, even, he's teaching us too. Exactly.
Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.
So there's Jesus' lesson right there. Now, he's going to tell us a parable, a story in a little bit to illustrate that. But really, that's the main point is right there. Be on your guard against covetousness. Life is not about the abundance of possessions. What is covetousness? You know, that's not a word that we use a whole lot today, right? So what is Jesus even talking about there? And, I would go back to Commandments 9 and 10, how we number them as Lutherans, right? Both of them about not coveting. I guess, how would you define, just in your own words, John, what it is to covet?
Well, I've always translated it in the sense of to want something that isn't really yours.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a discontent with what you have, wanting more than what God has given you.
Yeah, I like that. You know, discontent with what God is. You know, what you've given me, God, isn't quite good enough.
Yeah.
Right. I want what the Joneses have, you know.
Yeah.
I think Hebrews 13 comes to mind where the writer of Hebrews says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content. There's that word, content with what you have. For he has said, never will I leave you or forsake you, right? So, to not love money, possessions, the abundance of the things of this world, that's not where we find meaning, but instead be content with what we have.
And now we're going back to Martha, because maybe there was a little bit of covetousness what Martha was doing, too, that it wasn't just enough to give the basic things to Jesus, but no, she wanted to have this big meal so that Jesus would walk away and say, well, I've never had such a fine meal as what you prepared for me, Martha. Yeah, so there's maybe some covetousness in that, too.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're familiar with, right? Yeah. What feels kind of safe, right? You know, I mean, to follow Jesus, to confess him as Savior, you know, to sit at his feet, that can be kind of risky. That can even bring us, persecution in various ways. But if our life is about, just accumulating stuff, well, that's pretty safe. You know, the world approves of that. You know, no one's going to give you a hard time if your goal in life is to accumulate stuff. No one's going to give you a hard time. They're going to support you in that, even celebrate it, right? Be wowed by it.
Yeah.
But if your life is about sitting at Jesus' feet, well, then people aren't going to understand that, and you might even, you might even be persecuted for it. But Jesus sets us straight here. Jesus sets us straight. Yeah. I think another way to put it is, our life isn't measured by what we have, right? But instead, it's by who we are in relationship to God and others. You know, our life isn't defined about our stuff, but our life is defined by, who God says we are, right? Our relationship with him, our identity in him is his baptized children. So I think those words, Jesus, again, just so important, that your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. You know, instead our life consists in Jesus, right? And our connection to him.
Yeah. Well, isn't there that passage too? Even if we, what good does it do to have the whole world and yet to lose your life?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Exactly. 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 Yeah. Luke chapter 9. Yeah. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits himself? Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's read this story then, John, that Jesus uses to illustrate the point that he just made. So if you want to read verses 16 through 20.
And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Yeah, so there you go. So there Jesus illustrates his point, right, in a powerful way. When we read this parable here, especially verse 16, who's given credit for this man's crops and abundance?
The land is given credit.
So it says... Yeah, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. You know, what did the rich guy do to to have this abundance of crops. Well, nothing, not much of really. Anything, it seems. Yeah. At least the way Jesus tells the story.
Yeah.
He doesn't give the guy credit because he put down some great fertilizer. Boy, he worked really hard. No, it's just the land produced plentifully.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and who created the land? Well, God created the land, you know. So I think, you know, emphasis that what this man has, this abundance of crops, is a gift from God. The land produced plentifully. That's it, right? Now you have this great gift from God. You have this plenty, more than what you need. And the question is, well, what are you going to do with it? You know, what are you going to do with it? Yeah.
And we've already had the answer. The answer has been given us. What a wonderful opportunity to love the neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many hungry people, how many thirsty people could you provide for? Because the land, the blessing of God has been plentiful. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so this rich guy, though, he has more than what he needs. He has plenty. Yeah. So who does he consult when it comes to what he should do with it?
Himself. Well, you wouldn't want to consult God, trust me, because you wouldn't like the answer.
That's right. So he doesn't consult God. He doesn't consult the Old Testament scriptures, right? He doesn't consult even a neighbor, for that matter, someone in need, maybe. But instead, he consults himself, right? He thinks to himself, what shall I do with all these crops? You know, and then, and I will say to my soul, soul, you've got ample goods. So you're very self-centered, right? He only consults himself. His only consideration is what is going to benefit him. And you're exactly right, John. He forgets completely about his neighbor. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So his plan to enjoy his wealth is just to eat, to drink, be merry, relax. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
It's the American dream, Matt.
Well, sadly it is, John. Boy, you know, the American dream is to retire comfortably and not have to work another day in your life. And is that what God intends for us? Is that scriptural? Is work good or bad? Can work be a blessing from God, right? And certainly serving our neighbor, you know, is that the goal of life, to just be comfortable, to relax? Or is there something more to this life? Could we use the plenty that God has blessed us with for a greater purpose, to serve our neighbor, to share the gospel, to make an eternal difference in the lives of others? I think so, and I think Jesus thinks so too, as he tells us this story. Yeah. So, you know, so everything that the land produces plentifully, everything this guy has is really a gift from God. And then when we read verse 20, what else is a gift from God too?
His life, his very life, right?
Yeah, you fool, this night your life is required of you, and your things, who will they be? So, you know, not only did God give him this land and give him the plenty, but God gave him his very life, right? And this man doesn't seem to realize that. You know, God has given the man's life, and God can, well, he can take it back at any time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed to think that it was all these possessions that he had that was giving him life. And you're right, he forgot the fundamental thing, nor it was God who gave them all the possessions. It was God who gave him his very soul.
Yeah. Exactly. And then as it wraps up there, then, you know, verse 21, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, and, you know, that phrase rich toward God, you know, I think to be rich toward God, a part of it at least is to believe that God's the giver of all good things, including our life and salvation, right? So all that we have, but even our very life, even our salvation. And when we realize that, then maybe that changes our perspective on how we use all those things in service to him and to our neighbor.
So thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. And we appreciate everyone who's been listening to us. This, again, has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.